This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Using shared environment clues to start conversation. Turn what's already around you into your first real connection. In short, shared environment clues are one of the most reliable icebreaker tools you already have. They remove the pressure of finding a clever opener, because the material is right in front of you. Observe one specific, neutral detail both of you are experiencing. Name it simply, and attach an open question or a light comment. Let the other person's response guide where the conversation goes next. Definition: shared environment clues are observable details in the immediate physical or virtual surroundings that both people in a conversation can perceive and reference. They serve as natural, low-pressure icebreakers because they create instant common ground without requiring personal disclosure. I've watched many a good meeting begin in silence. Not a comfortable silence either. The kind where people check their phones, adjust their chairs, and stare at the ceiling, waiting for someone else to go first. I sat in one of those rooms 20 years ago, watching six competent people avoid each other's eyes while a shared frustration about the broken air conditioning went completely unspoken. One word about that rattling vent would have broken the ice in seconds. Nobody said it. That moment taught me something I have used in every setting since. Icebreakers do not require wit or preparation. They require attention. The shared environment around you is full of conversational openings. Your job is to notice them and use them with confidence. Why starting a conversation this way feels harder than it should. Most people believe they need a clever line, a charming question, or some remarkable personal story to open a conversation. That belief is the problem. It puts all the weight on you, and it sends your attention inward when it should be pointing outward. The second difficulty is that many of us were taught to keep small talk neutral to the point of meaninglessness. How are you? And good weather we're having have been so overused that they no longer land as genuine. People answer on autopilot. No real connection forms. Shared environment clues solve both problems at once. They are already neutral, already visible, and already real. You are not inventing a topic. You are simply naming what is already present. That is a very different thing, and people feel the difference immediately. What you need to notice before you speak. Before any icebreaker using environmental cues can work, you need a brief moment of genuine observation. This is not complicated, but it is the step most people skip. Give yourself 5 to 10 seconds to look around and register what is actually present. You are not searching for anything in particular. You are just paying attention to what is there. The temperature of the room, the noise level, the view, something that changed recently, or something unexpected all qualify. Choose a cue that is observable by both of you. A detail only you can see, or one that requires inside knowledge, will not land. The power of this approach is the shared part. Both people already inhabit the same moment. Avoid anything that comments on a person's appearance, belongings, or anything that could feel like scrutiny. Your cue should reference the space or the situation, not the individual. A step-by-step process for using environment clues as icebreakers. This sequence works in person, in waiting areas, before meetings begin, at events, and, with one adaptation, on video calls. Practice it, and it becomes second nature within a few weeks. Number 1. Pause and observe. Before you speak, take one full breath and look at the environment you're sharing. Resist the urge to fill the silence immediately. You're looking for something specific, a detail that is neutral, visible to both of you, and mildly interesting or relatable. The hum of a projector, an unusually good view, a room that is too warm, a table that everyone is crowded around. These are your raw materials. Number 2. Select a single cue. Do not try to combine two observations. Pick the one that feels most immediately shareable. Simpler is better. The cue does not need to be interesting on its own. It just needs to be real and mutual. Number 3. Name it directly. State what you noticed in a plain, honest sentence. Do not dress it up or be dramatic about it. This room is absolutely freezing is better than I cannot believe how cold it is in here. It's almost unbearable. Short and direct leaves space for the other person to respond. Overwrought leaves them with nothing to add. A good frame sounds like, that view is worth arriving early for, or they really packed us in here today. Number 4. Attach an open invitation. Follow your observation with a question or a comment that genuinely invites a response. Not a yes or no question, something that leaves room. Have you been in this building before? Or I wonder if it gets like this every session. The invitation does not need to be clever. It needs to be genuine and easy to answer. If you're unsure, a simple what do you make of it works in almost any context. Number 5. Listen to the response, not to yourself. This is where most people fall down. After they speak, they start preparing their next line instead of paying attention to what the other person actually says. The response your cue generates will tell you everything you need to know about where to go next. Follow it. The conversation will find its own shape if you let it. Number 6. Build one step further. Once the person responds, offer one brief follow-on that keeps the exchange alive without extending it artificially. If they laugh about the temperature, you might say, "I brought a coffee just in time." If they mention they have been in the building before, ask something simple and genuine about that. You are building warmth, not conducting an interview. 2 or 3 exchanges is enough to create a real opening. Number 7. Let the conversation shift naturally. Once the ice is genuinely broken, the conversation will move on its own. You do not need to manage it. If there is a formal agenda ahead, the small talk you have established will make the transition easier for everyone. If this is a social setting, the path forward is already open. If you want to see how this kind of conversational warmth plays into the broader meeting experience, the article on the role of communication in meeting success is worth your time. Adapting the process for virtual settings. The same principle applies on video calls. The shared environment is smaller and more visible, which actually makes it easier. Before the meeting formally begins, you and others on the call are looking at each other's backgrounds, dealing with the same platform, experiencing the same technical quirks. Those are your cues. The lighting in your setup is really clear. What are you using? Or that background is a good choice. I always find this platform's defaults a bit grim are both genuine observations about the shared virtual space you both inhabit. A delayed start is one of the most reliable virtual icebreakers available. If the meeting begins late because someone is still joining, comment on the waiting itself. We always find ourselves doing this, don't we? It names a shared experience without being negative about any individual, and almost everyone can relate. For structured virtual team meetings, you might also find useful guidance in the article on best practices for virtual meeting communication, which covers the broader communication habits that make online sessions work better for everyone. When you need to break the ice specifically in a team context, effective icebreakers for team meetings gives you a wider set of approaches to draw on. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong with this approach. The method is simple, but a few consistent errors undermine it. Here's what I see most often, and what to do instead. The mistake: turning the observation into a complaint. Why it happens: shared frustration feels like common ground. It is, briefly, but it sets a negative tone that is hard to recover from. What to do instead: keep your observation neutral or mildly positive. You can acknowledge a difficulty without dwelling on it. It is warmer in here than I expected, is different from this place is stifling. I can barely think. The mistake: asking a closed question after the observation. Why it happens: closed questions feel safer because they are easier to answer, but they end the exchange instead of opening it. What to do instead: add a word that opens the door. What, how, have you, or I wonder if, even what do you reckon? Attached to any observation works better than pretty warm, isn't it? A mistake: commenting on something only you can see or know. Why it happens: people reach for what is interesting to them, not what is shared. What to do instead: before you speak, ask yourself whether the other person can directly observe what you are about to reference. If not, wait for a cue you genuinely share. The mistake: overloading the observation with explanation. Why it happens: nerves. When people are anxious about social interaction, they fill the space with words. What to do instead: say less than you think you should. One sentence for the observation, one sentence for the invitation, then stop and listen. When icebreakers fail, they can create real tension, especially in team settings. The article on how to handle conflict during meetings is useful for understanding what to do when the atmosphere is already difficult before a meeting begins. For diverse groups where cultural context affects how people experience shared spaces, running inclusive meetings with diverse teams offers complementary thinking. Before you walk in, a quick readiness check. Use this before any meeting, event, or situation where you want to be ready to open a conversation naturally. Run through it in 2 minutes. I have identified at least one neutral, observable detail in the shared space. My observation names what is actually there, not what I wish were there. I have a single open question or invitation ready to follow it. My opener is one sentence, not two, not three. I am prepared to listen fully once the other person responds. If the person gives a brief reply, I have one follow-on point ready, nothing longer. I'm not trying to be interesting. I'm trying to be present. If you want to connect this skill to broader team dynamics, the article on how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy shows how the same observational confidence applies when stakes are higher. And if you want to understand how to bring lightness into a room that needs it, how humor can ease workplace tension when used right pairs well with what you've learned here. The only preparation you actually need. Here is the truth of it. You will never run out of material if you learn to read the room before you open your mouth. Shared environment clues are always present. Temperature, light, sound, space, timing, the small frustrations and small pleasures of the moment you are both in. None of it needs to be remarkable. It just needs to be real. The courage to name what you both already notice is enough to open most conversations. You do not need to be clever. You need to be paying attention. That is a skill you can build. And it begins with the very next room you walk into. Using shared environment clues as your icebreaker foundation means you arrive prepared simply by arriving present. That is something I have trusted for more years than I can count, and it has never once let me down. Frequently asked questions. What are shared environment clues for icebreakers? Shared environment clues are observable details in your immediate surroundings, such as the weather outside, objects in the room, or a recent shared experience, that both people can naturally reference. They work as icebreakers because they require no personal information and create instant common ground. How do you use your surroundings to start a conversation? Notice one specific, neutral detail in the space you both occupy. Name it briefly, then attach an open question or light comment. For example, referencing the noise level in a busy venue or an unusual piece of artwork on the wall gives both people a shared point to respond to naturally. Why do shared environment clues make icebreakers feel less forced? Because you are not importing a topic from outside the moment. Both people are already experiencing the same environment, so the observation lands as genuine rather than prepared. It signals presence and the tension, which people respond to warmly, rather than feeling they are being worked on. Can you use shared environment clues in virtual meetings? Yes, in video calls. The shared environment includes visible backgrounds, lighting conditions, the platform itself, and any technical quirks you both notice. Commenting on something you can both see on screen, or referencing a shared logistical experience like a delayed start, works on the same principle as physical cues. What shared environment clues work best in professional settings? The most reliable professional cues are neutral and universal room temperature, sound levels, the view from the window, catering or coffee arrangements, or the layout of the space. Avoid personal items belonging to specific individuals unless the person has clearly displayed them for conversation, such as a sports trophy or travel photo. How long should an icebreaker based on environment clues last? Keep it brief. One or two exchanges is enough to open the door. The goal of using shared environment clues as an icebreaker is to establish warmth and ease, not to have a long conversation about the room. Once the person is engaged, move naturally toward the real topic or let the conversation find its own direction. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.